Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This is the broadcast for March 31st in the year of our Lord, 2023. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio, to reject revolution, to stand with the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. I also might add, it's a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Boy, did we talk about a lot of stuff last hour. Nancy Pelosi says, quote, Trump could prove innocence at trial. Shame on America. That is a true statement, probably. Dr. Bradley pointed that out, and he's right. Sadly, it's true in America, folks. But Josh Hawley, you think he's a conservative senator? He's selling us South, folks. Rand Paul caught him at it and stopped him. We're talking about the Restrict Act. What is it? It is the most terrifying piece of legislation ever introduced into American history, folks. It would give the government literally the ability to target every one of us, to literally create massive fines and penalties and take our property. If we simply act wrong, then adjudicate it in D.C., it would all be secret because you can't use FOIA requests or anything else. It is a disaster, folks. It is crazy. I don't even know how to respond to this.
Well, I might add that it's absolutely an unconstitutional act in every way, shape, and form. Everything you have mentioned up to this point, first of all, the Constitution does not delegate that power and authority to the general government. It simply is not there. It's illegal and unconstitutional. I mean, from the get-go, every single shred of everything that's, you know, I don't know how you'd say a word is unconstitutional, but the way they've strung the words together have made it an unconstitutional act. Look through the Constitution, people. Carefully review it. It won't take you that long after we get off the air here. Pick it up, review it, and say, where does this fit? It doesn't. It does not fit anywhere in the Constitution. And so all of the purported penalties...
Putting the American people as a national security risk is what it's doing, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's bad. That's real bad. Ladies and gentlemen, but I want to totally switch gears, Dr. Bradley. I want to switch gears to a completely different, but I believe completely related topic. Are you ready?
Well, I don't know. That's a pretty big lead-in.
Have you heard of staking?
I don't know what staking is. I mean, you know, unless it's cooking a hamburger for a barbecue or maybe it's putting your tent up.
Come on,
I don't
now.
Know.
This is a spiritual discussion. There are people now that are using a term called staking. That's a spiritual term. There's a broadcaster. His name is Jocko. And he had a guy on the, you know, podcast with him called Steve Hempfield. Or Hemphill. Sorry, Steve Hemphill. And they're talking about spiritual warfare. And Steve is with Fountain Gate Ministries, I guess it is. Now, they're talking about this term called staking. And what they do is they call it spiritual warfare stakes. God's protection promised through his word is the idea. Now, the staking is this idea that what they do is they go to a property and they stake out the corners of the property with stakes, literally. And they don't do it for surveilling purposes. Sorry. They're doing it because they want to use the Lord's tent of protection over a given designated area that we may have control on. So let's take your house, Dr. Bradley. We would go to your property if we're going to do this staking spiritual defense mechanism. We would then use stakes to stake down the corners of your property. So like a tent stake, and then we would offer a prayer of protection to God Almighty for the area that we've staked off and say, Lord, you know what? We love thee. We dedicate this to thee. We want thee to protect us from the evil one, from the destroyer. And it's a defense. It's a spiritual warfare protection move that these guys are talking about. And it's taking the Christian realms by storm right now, Dr. Bradley. Your thoughts?
Well, if you go to Isaiah 33:20, you look at that scripture. It talks about not one of the stakes shall be removed. Okay, S-T-A-K-E-S.
Yeah, that's okay, right.
Now, so it has an Old Testament, a biblical origin, if you will. And, you know, the stakes and, you know, you look at the tabernacle that was taken with Israel as they went through the wilderness. And it was a tent, and you had to put it up with stakes. And these stakes were to hold it in place and hold it up. I mean, there was a tension there that allowed that. And there's probably a lot of analogies we could draw from that. And I assume that they're probably drawing the concept from there.
That's exactly where they're drawing it from.
Okay, so I personally, you know, I mean, I like analogies, I like imagery, I like things that help remind us of things, and so I guess I like symbolism.
I like turning to God. I like praying over people and things. I like turning to God and begging for His protection and forgiveness for our mistake. I love the whole concept, and I think it has real, valuable, powerful merit, Doctor.
Well, true, and all those counts, but I would carry it beyond that. I don't think that the physical stake itself has any spiritual ramifications that will absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, holding up a cross in front of a vampire in a lot of ways. I mean, please don't think I'm trying to denigrate anything, but the fact of the matter is, I believe that our own spiritual stakes should be driven in our own lives to put our own boundaries up. And I don't know as it takes, you know, a wooden stake or a tent stake or a steel stake, whatever they're putting up in these instances, to really create that. I think that we create the limits and bounds. And if there's a way, we have to kind of remind ourselves and you know, through all sorts of parabolic kinds of approaches to this, maybe that's okay. But I do believe that each one of us needs to drive the stakes in the ground, if you will, that allow us to operate within the limits and bounds that will keep us safe from spiritual deception and so on. If it helps people remember and everything, but I don't think that just driving some sticks in the ground or whatever they're doing, I don't know what their program is efficacious for anything other than a reminder to us. I really believe we set in our own hearts and minds our own stakes. I believe that we put it around our own family. We put a canopy of God's cover over ourselves, and we can do this kind of thing. Our nation really needs to do this, honestly.
And I agree with that.
We've kind of gone far from that. But
now,
just
here's what I find interesting.
Stake,
I agree the I stake, the physical stake, the piece of metal or wood that you drive into the ground, I don't think that necessarily, you know, I don't think if I use a wood stake or a whatever, you know, the question is, hey, should you bless the stakes in advance as well or whatever? And I don't know that the stake has significance other than you are basically designating a tented area, a protection area. And a lot of times God has us do things that are symbolic because they help us in our remembrance of Him, Dr. Bradley. And so it's you know, staking out your ground to say, hey, you know what, this is my area. And I want to dedicate it to God. It's more of a humility before God thing and a way to remember. So I agree with you that some of the details may not be the key to the exercise, right? But the key to the exercise is acknowledging that what I have control over to some degree. Now, we can debate if we have control over our land, but that's a whole different topic. What I have control over, I want to dedicate to the Lord. And I'll give you a comparison. And then we'll take a break. Then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit more. In comparison, you know what? I try to dedicate everything I have and everything that I am to God. And so when I wake up in the mornings, and this may be, you know, a little personal, but I want to share it because I think it really matters. When I wake up in the morning, I get on my knees and I tell God, I want to dedicate my radio program to thee, Lord. And I say, I want you to help us focus on the things that can truly bring people to Christ. I want to focus on things that could truly help educate people about the importance of liberty and religious liberty and help put in people's hearts and minds and help people decide to take action to protect this land, to pray, to work, to educate themselves, to share the word. And Lord, please let me dedicate this radio program to Thee. I'm on Thy errand, God, and this is about promoting God, family, and country. It's about protecting life, the ultimate gift God gave us, liberty and property, the ability to worship how and where we want to, okay? And so I dedicate this radio program literally daily to God. And so, you know, you could say, well, Sam, that doesn't mean your program is more godly than another. I know. I understand. But it does mean the intentions of my heart, the intentions of my soul. And so I agree that, you know what, hey, you can do the same thing by just walking the perimeter of your property rather than staking it, per se. But there is spiritual meaning in the tent of the Lord idea of staking down a tent of stability, of safety, of protection, of enlarge thy stakes, if you will. Kind of, you know, hey, there's an idea about covering something with the Lord's protection. Anyway, when we get back, I want to talk about this because a lot of this, I agree with Dr. Bradley, it's symbolic. A lot of it has to do with our hearts and our minds. A lot of it has to do with God using things in the physical world to help us be in remembrance of Him and our covenants and commitments to Him. Dr. Bradley's with me. We'll talk more in seconds on your radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Yeah, spiritual warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Stake down thy tent, if you will. Yeah, God's protection promised through His word. And so I understand some of these things, but I kind of love everybody's efforts to dedicate their heart, mind, soul, and actions or efforts to God. I got to applaud the effort and the focus, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, symbolism helps you do that. I think that's wonderful. I mean, God uses symbolism. Baptism, for example, I mean, the burial and coming up and renewing, the washing, all that kind of stuff. At any rate, God uses symbolism all the time. And my personal inclination is to do what I would consider to be a dedication of your home, if you will, where where the family gathers and comes before God and basically consecrates the home, dedicates it, sets it aside for godly things, asking His Spirit dwell there, His protection be over the home. You know, I think that, I mean, I think about, you are well aware of some of the shenanigans that the medical system used against me a couple of years ago, extended. All of my current maladies are related to their protocols, their attempts to destroy my life. But at any rate, I know my wife every evening when she went home from the hospital. They, by the way, they kept her and the whole family away from, I was completely incommunicado. I was completely isolated for an extended period of time from anybody and everybody that cared about me. But when she could leave, or even before she could even come to see me, she basically dedicated my surroundings for my protection. I mean, I think that those kinds of dedications will need to be resorted to more often in the coming years. I mean, I think there are people, I mean, let's just take, for example, someone that couldn't walk around their yard because they're wheelchair bound or whatever. They shouldn't say, oh, I'm without protection. No, God hears prayers, and you can call His assistance, His powers, His protection on any circumstance or situation you're in, regardless of your limitations on what you can do. I mean, if you're in a concentration camp, which may come about with all of the nonsense they're doing in the government, those kinds of constraining things, if you're locked down in your home, whatever it is, I think you can have God with you, and I think that's what we ought to be preparing for. You know, I think that if people get thinking, oh, I can't do this physical thing like go drive a stake in the ground, and I don't want to denigrate that if people want to do that, but if you can't go do that, do something that aligns you more completely and perfectly with God, and I think you'll be better off for it. So, you know, whatever it takes for us to do, I think that's cool, and we ought to do it, because too few of us are doing it right now. We're looking more to the government.
Amen. And that's kind of my point. I agree with you that you can do it different ways. Like, I pray and dedicate this radio program to God. They want to basically stake their properties and have a prayer and turn their dedicate their property to God for protection and prosperity, etc. Whether you're in a wheelchair and you do it in your home, as you mentioned, and kneel down and dedicate your home. I believe in dedicating things to God, and I think there's real power in doing so. And I really appreciate this interview that these guys did, this Jocko. I don't know how to say his last name is the problem. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to ignore the guy. Jocko Bruyens, B-O-O-Y-E-N-S, Boyens or Boyens. Anyway, does a great job and interviews this Steve Hemphill of Fountain Gate Fellowship, and they're talking about spiritual warfare. They're talking about stakes, God's protection, promised through His Word. And I think if we rely on God's Word, if we turn to Him, if we dedicate things to Him, there's real power and value in that. You know, I think we underestimate the value of prayer. We also underestimate the value of dedicating our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors, our talents to Almighty God. And I think this is in that vein, and I commend them for it. And you know what? I may do it slightly different than they. You may do it different or what. That doesn't matter. The point is what we're getting at. This is spiritual warfare at its best, Doctor.
Well, we are in a spiritual war. I mean, you know, people say, well, we haven't been invaded by China yet, so there's not a war going on. Well, there's a cyber war going on, or an economic war, and we've called it down on our own heads. And so things, there can be really, really, really bad, destructive things going on. And we need that shield and a protection, if you will, with God's assistance on everything. Now, the only way we're going to get that, I think, is if we, I mean, if you draw near to Him with your lips, but your heart is far from Him, I think all bets are off. I mean, that's kind of maybe a bad way to talk about with God. I mean, I don't think He's a betting man, but the fact of the matter is, we need to draw near to Him, and it needs to be something that is heartfelt and sincere, and to throw out something and say, I'm just covering all my bets. I knew many, many, many years ago, 65 years ago, I first met him. Anyway, an old cowboy, and when I went to his funeral, he had multiple nominations, let's put it that way, participate in his funeral. There were different religious belief systems that were there. And I asked his sister about it after. She says he was just covering all his bets. I mean, he wanted this denomination to, because maybe they were right, and this denomination, maybe they were right. Maybe there was somebody more right with God, and he just wanted to make sure that he was right with all of them, and so that when he went forward. And it's kind of like, I kind of think, you know, I can see his logic, because just knowing the kind of, he was a good old boy cowboy, but then again, I think he was putting his faith in kind of some superficial things that ultimately did not really reflect a deep, abiding belief and faith in God. So, but that's him. That's with God and him. I can't judge him, but I found it really kind of humorous, actually, that we had multiple denominations running his funeral. It was so great. I thought, whoa, yeah, he's covering all his bets. Anyway.
Wow. Hey, Peter. I had everybody there, buddy. You gonna let me in?
Yeah. I don't think he had Taoists.
But
one thing
we really need, in my opinion, in America too, though, is that, you know what? There's a lot of Christian denominations. There's a lot of different keys to theology, so to speak. There's a lot of different viewpoints about the Trinity or not, or, you know, whether you believe that God the Father and the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ are separate people or personages, or, you know, no matter what you believe there. All I can tell you is that it seems to me that we need more of us to praise the efforts of one another. And I remember this in music, too. I remember there was a lot of congregations that have great, great musical talent, and they sing praises to the Lord. And they were talking to some of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. They're like, you guys need to learn how to get some music in your worship. You know what I mean? And I look at some of these churches and some of these efforts, and I'll give you one more example to make the point. You know, in Texas, my daughter moved from Utah to Texas. And I said, you know, honey, what's the difference between Utah and Texas? And she goes, you know, in some ways, it's just the same. In many ways, it's totally different, though. She said, you know, when we help people, we just kind of say, all right, hey, see you later. Well, they usually, when somebody helps someone or does something for somebody or whatever, they always say, you know, have a blessed day. My daughter said, you know what, that have a blessed day takes things to the new level of respect and mutual. If you say, see you later, they're like, okay, thank you. But if you say to them, have a blessed day, then they go, oh, thank you, you too. And it changes the whole exchange, takes it to a new level. And this is what I'm talking about. I think that, you know what, we can have our differences of viewpoints about Christianity, but we need to turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to acknowledge his hand in our lives. And every little thing we do can bring us to remembrance of him. In remembrance of him is what I would say. Whether you stake your property, whether you're in your home and you dedicate it as you would, Dr. Bradley, whether you're dedicating your radio show or your employment or your efforts, or whether you're saying to somebody instead of just, hey, see you later, hey, thanks a lot. Those are good things. But have a blessed day. Takes things to the new level. And anyway, all I'm saying is that I think we need to learn and start to create this revival in America about acknowledging his hand in all that we do, Doctor.
Well, indeed. And your point about have a blessed day, I mean, the Hebrew shalom and peace, you know, I mean, peace is absolutely been taken from the earth, it seems like. I mean, you know, there's been so many studies lately of particularly young people that have completely become despondent because of the last 3 years of hopelessness that everybody, including religions, have basically heaped upon everybody. You know, the lockdowns and the destruction of the economy and everything like that. And so to hear peace, to really say, yeah, peace. I could use some peace. Let's do that, you know.
How can I see the hand of God moving in my life? How can I profess the Lord's hand in all things? What does it mean to in all your ways acknowledge him in Proverbs, huh? That's what we're talking about. We'll talk more in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Lance Pry. A 20-year employee of the San Jose, California Police Officers Association has been charged in a scheme to distribute drugs, including fentanyl. Joanne Segovia, the union's executive director, was charged with importing illegal synthetic opioid drugs from overseas. Sean Pritchard on ABC 7 is president of the San Jose Police Officers Association.
Shocked. Became saddened, and as the days have gone by, I'm at a place where I'm angry.
Investigators say Segovia used her personal and office computers to order the drugs and agreed to distribute them elsewhere in the United States. Segovia is due in court at 1 p.m. Pacific today. Former President Trump was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury yesterday. The complaint is sealed at this time. District Attorney Alvin Bragg is being accused of playing politics since the federal government opted not to bring charges. Former Vice President Mike Pence also calls this action an outrage.
I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage. And it appears to for millions of Americans be nothing more than a political prosecution.
More than 65 million Americans in at least 15 states are in the path of what meteorologists are calling explosive thunderstorms. The violent weather that will be developing today threatens a big part of the central part of the country, including cities such as Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and Little Rock. Forecasters say storms boiling up today and tonight could generate tornadoes, torrential rainfall, hail, and damaging 70 to 80 mile an hour wind gusts. A Park City jury sided with Hollywood actor Gwyneth Paltrow yesterday, deciding Terry Sanderson was at fault for a ski collision between the two 7 years ago at Deer Valley Resort. Paltrow was awarded $1 plus her attorney fees. USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Confess the Lord's hand in all things, ladies and gentlemen. What does it mean? Two, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Yeah, Proverbs 3:6. What does that mean? Confess the Lord's hand in all things, right? How can I see the hand of God moving in my life? Put it in God's hands. What does it mean to truly let go and turn it over to God? That's what we're talking about. And I think this incredible interview that Jocko did with Steve Hemphill of Fountain Gate Ministries or Fountain Gate Fellowship pointed this out. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Stakes, God's protection promised through his word. What does it mean? And so I really think that this is an important topic, Doctor. And I think that just think of the power we could have if we would remember him, acknowledge him in all things, seek to understand his hand in our lives and be grateful. And I just wonder if we were to make that kind of a real point of focus and millions of us who love liberty were willing to do so and then tie that to the liberty movement, Doctor.
You know, you mentioned kind of a personal thing a little earlier in regards to before you start your show every morning, you dedicate it to the Lord. And I think that's a magnificent approach to things. I'll just give you another, I'll share a little personal incident from some decades ago in my life. I was challenged in our religious heritage. There's an individual that prayed all the day long and into the night, you know, and I was challenged, could you do that? I thought, holy cow, no, my knees would get pretty sore. And this individual that I thought had some pretty good insights, he said to me, no, I'm not talking about, you know, spending the whole day on your knees. I'm talking about that every hour, take a moment and express your feelings to God. And so, you know, pick, you know, the top of the hour, quarter hour, whatever, whenever, or just randomly, whatever it is, to help you recognize the hand of God in your life and do it throughout the day. I thought, well, I can probably do that. And my experience with this challenge was initially, and I'm sad to, I'm kind of sad to admit, but my initial efforts were gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, Lord, by the way, while you're at it, can I get this too? And I guess I don't want to be so crass as to say that that was the basis of everything.
Yeah, while you're resting, Lord.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that over the weeks that this went and the months, I found my prayers becoming more prayers of gratitude and recognizing the hand of God in everything. And I think, you know, you think if you're a dad and you give a kid a gift, you know, and they never say thanks, you think, well, that wasn't much appreciated. And I think there's a lot of analogous things between our Father in heaven and us being fathers on in a mortal existence. Of course, he does it so impeccably. But the fact of the matter is, as a dad, I think, you know, He didn't appreciate what I did for him or give, you know, all they did is complain and moan and groan and murmur and all blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, it seems to me that if we really, truly did an in-depth analysis of everything we are, everything we could become, it is all owed to God. Every single creation, everything we smell, we feel, we hear, we taste, everything we see, all the beauty and wonder and majesty of the changing of the seasons, the new growth, the renewal of the earth when we can have a new harvest, the sun, the moon, and the stars. I mean, and I guess you could wax eloquent and detail everything out, but every single aspect of our very existence is attributable to a gift from God. You say, yeah, well, he gave me a crappy day today because I sneezed and I don't feel as good or whatever. No, you know what? The fact you're still breathing. It's a good day, you know. I mean, we can spin almost anything into a complaint. And, I knew somebody that was a well-blessed man. He had many children, a faithful, good wife, and he had been able to provide for them his whole life. And he had been, it was one of those things, he had been sustained every moment of his being. And yet he was angry every moment of his being, it seemed like. You'd ask him, how's your day? Terrible. Well, how can I make it better? Give me $1 million. I mean, you know, there was never a gracious, thankful attitude. And I think a thankful attitude, there's just much to be said for that. You know, a recognition of God's hand. I mean, you know, you might say, oh, you know, almost every time we have a little get-together, I talk about how it's snowing here. It is. But, man, do we need the moisture? And you know what? It's one of those things, in spite of the fact I say I'm tired of shoveling this global warming. It's a joke. We have such a great blessing here. This will bring, you know, the April showers bring May flowers kind of thing. This will bring an abundant harvest, you know, in its season, you know. And so I think that looking at those things kind of in a connect the dots and where we're going with this thing, there's got to be something to that. And recognizing God's hand in all things, giving thanks in all things, we end up ultimately, my experience when I went through this exercise many years ago was it gave me a gladdened heart, it gave me peace, it gave me a feeling of closeness with God that I hadn't had previously. And so I recommend it. And I, you know, you don't have to set your alarm clock for every hour and you know, say a prayer, but maybe you do. I don't know. It's whatever works for you. And I found initially, by the way, when I was doing this, oh, dang, I missed an hour. You know, I wasn't thinking. My heart was not turned to God, you know. And over time, it became more of a, hey, wait a minute. I get a chance to talk to God here in a minute or whatever. You
well,
know,
and it reminds me a little bit of Tavia.
Oh, yeah. Fiddler on the Roof, you know.
You know, and you kind of go, you know, when you first watch that as a kid, you kind of think, my gosh, he's flippant and kind of, you know, irreverent or whatever you want to say. The guy's, But when you learn about Tavia, you understand that his heart's right, and he just that's just his way of God's his friend. Yeah. And how do we make our Heavenly Father our friend? How do we get to where we can pray and talk to him and communicate with him and remember him? For everybody, it's going to be slightly different, right? For everyone, you know, you might not be Tavia and have a sense of humor in your prayers. Who knows? Or you might, right? All I'm saying is it doesn't matter how you go about it, as long as you're, in my opinion, your efforts are sincere, your heart is genuine, and your modality is true, so to speak. You've got to, you know, but if we learn to do this, I believe we could have 10 times the power, 10 times the guidance from God, 10 times the push for liberty than we have now with that alone, and it wouldn't cost us a penny. And it would literally bring us in much more in line with the Savior's teachings, Dr. Bradley. Well, that's the whole point of this, right?
The riches of eternity truly are ours. I mean, we have a God that loves us. I'm absolutely, unequivocally convinced of that. And that all the gifts that he has given, none of us can possibly imagine. I mean, each breath, each moment, you know, each movement of a finger. I mean, everything you are and everything you could ever become is a gift. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes we need to have a reminder. There's another movie. You mentioned Fiddler on the Roof and Tevye. Most people have probably never heard of this. This was a movie from probably back in the 70s. Windwalker. It's about Native
great
America.
Movie.
Great movie. It's in the Cheyenne language. I mean, you have to have you know the little captions on the
subtitles,
bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
You know. And anyway, and the old Indian. I mean, well, it shows his life from his young manhood and up through losing his wife and a child to being kidnapped and the difficulties
the
of bear attacks.
Indian, though, you might add.
But he becomes a great warrior, a great chief, and all this kind of stuff. And he becomes old and he's ready to go into the, well, they don't put him in a grave. They put you on stilts. But the fact of the matter is, it's conversations.
Yeah, you don't want to be
God.
On the ground if you understand the history or they don't want to be on the ground, right?
Right. And I mean, without getting into the fullness of this, but just if you can get a hold of it. And I remember showing it to my kids the first time, you know, and it was challenging. Life is challenging for crying out loud. And my little kids were coming to me, Daddy, can we turn this off? I mean, it's so sad. It's so scary, whatever, you know, like a bear attacking a little kid, you know, all those kind of things. Anyway, I said, dude, you got to watch it to the end. You've got to see it to the end. Oh, you know, they were so, you know, it was kind of so tense for them. And at the very ending of it, there is an unfolding and a restoral and a renewal, and everything is as it should be. And there's never, nothing is ever lost, okay? But I don't want to ruin the story for you. But the fact of the matter is that all through that, this Indian that had had all these trials throughout his life, a Native American, okay, anyway, and he developed this relationship with God, and he called him grandfather. And he'd kind of sometimes, when things had happened, he'd kind of look up and he'd say, nice joke, grandfather. You know, I mean, it was, he signed to see the humor. I mean, you know, and the things that are happening, it's kind of like, whoa, or what was I supposed to learn from that one, grandfather, you know? And so, yeah, there's stuff. Whatever it takes, do it.
Sometimes here's what I say to Heavenly Father. I say in my mind, are you kidding me right now? Because you look around in America, man, you can get depressed fast. We've got to trust God, people. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
After the Alive, Dr. Bradley and I are talking about spiritual warfare, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this incredible principle people are using now, Christian effort, called staking. Yeah, I'm not talking about going out and eating a steak. We're talking about staking out the corners of your property, putting a tent of protection over what you have as a way to turn to God and dedicate things to God Almighty. Steve Hemphill is the one that talked about this. And I think he's right. We need to learn to confess the Lord's hand in all things. What does it mean to acknowledge him in all your ways? How can we see the hand of God moving in our lives? Yeah, to put things in God's hands. What does it really mean to truly let go and turn it over to God? Okay, and it relates to my website, a clarion call for civility. Callforcivility.com on that website. I really ask people to take a pledge and try to become more civil and kind. And all this relates because when you learn to turn to God and pray like Tevye, Fiddler on the Roof, or like this Indian and Windwalker, you know, grandfather, what the heck's going on? Whether you're Sam Bushman and you say, are you kidding me right now? We need to learn to understand that God's in charge. And even though things just look so dismal, even though there are incredible efforts we can make, steps we can take that can tie us to God Almighty, that can give us clarity. To all we're doing, that can give us an understanding and a focus to let us literally spend our days from the waking moments to our falling asleep, ways that we can glorify God, ways that we can advance the sacred cause of liberty. And I just believe we haven't tapped into the authority or power of God enough. It's our birthright. It's our godly heritage, Doctor.
You know, to me, it's an interesting dynamic, an interesting study, I guess I should call it. Maybe I get too philosophical all the time, but the fact
it's a grand old experiment, sir.
It is indeed. But here's the deal: each of us takes our life's experiences and we digest them. I guess is a good word for however we will turn it.
Digest, internalize. Yes.
And so the sad thing is, in many instances, when things are tough, hearts are hardened. People become more bitter, more angry, more entrenched against God, and under the same circumstances, some other person might be softened to the love of God, and hearts get softened. So what I'm saying is you take a given experience, and you can kind of spin that any way you want. You can say, oh, for crying out loud, if God's that way, what do I want to have anything to do with God about? I mean, you know, if he's, why did he let this happen? And pretty soon you're kind of in a death spiral. Or you can say, you know, this is a hard thing to do, but there's got to be a pathway to God through this. I mean, you know, people can spin their experiences any number of ways. And I guess that's within our own prerogative. We can become grumpy and angry, like the guy I told you about earlier that was mad about all of every aspect of his life, it seemed like, made him mad. Or you can become, you know, kind of more softened to your approach to God and saying, you know what, I really do need him more than I thought I did, and I'm gonna look that way. You know, so whatever it takes to I guess encourage everyone to kind of take that spin on it rather than the curmudgeon spin, I think we'll all be better off. I think humanity would treat each other better, you know. the, you know.
Well, that's the hope. You know, they tell people that I'm anti-government and I'm this and I'm that and I'm a racist and I'm a. Folks, I'm preaching to all Americans. I'm preaching to all people of the world and saying, look, we got to have a clarion call for civility. Callforcivility.com. Check out my website. I'm the guy saying, you know what? How do we put it in God's hands and trust in him more? How do we see the hand of God moving in our lives and start to really turn more to gratitude and appreciation? You know, we've lost a lot of liberty in America. That's a fact. It's pretty easy to get focused on that and just say, hey, man, it's curtains. Fat lady's already sung. But then you can look at it a different way and say, you know, we've lost a lot of liberty. I agree. And we got to push hard and work hard to bring it back. That's a really real, a really hard fight. A real effort's got to accomplish it. But what about being grateful for how much liberty we still have in America, though? I can literally get on a plane or get in my car and go anywhere I want. I can literally get on my knees and worship God. I can stake down my property. I can still do a lot of wonderful things that most people would just be envious to have around the world. And, you know, we've lost a lot of liberty, but we've got to be really grateful for how much we still have, too, Doctor.
Well, liberty is a gift from God. And you can go read about this in the Luke chapter 4, where Christ went back to his hometown, if you will, when he started his ministry and was able to, they went to the synagogue and they handed him a book of, well, at least a portion of Isaiah 61, where he read the messianic statement that Isaiah had said about the coming forth of the Messiah and what he was there for, to liberate the captive, you know, to heal those that were afflicted and so on and so forth. That was his job. And I mean, it is his job description. This liberty thing is a Christ-centered thing. And it is a gift to us, and he'll help us restore it. I mean, you know, we don't have to become complacent and say, yeah, we lost 90% of it. We still got 10% of it. I guess that's okay. No, I'm fully committed to bringing back the full measure of his gift. You know, these God-given rights, this inalienable stuff that they talk about, the Declaration of Independence. And we call on him to assist in that great work. It is his work. I mean, and we're just, you know, instruments in it, I guess we could say. None of us have the, you know, the, I mean, although there's plenty of people that want to be at the head of the parade and want to kind of take all the credit, we're all just workers in the kingdom, you know. I look at people, you may have heard of this, Sam, maybe you haven't, I don't know. Maybe your listeners would be even more new to them. There was a movement in 1890. It's a whole story. I've got a presentation I give on the, it's a Messiah movement that happened among the Native Americans in 1890. And the word was that Christ had come to the Native tribes at Pyramid Lake in 1890, and he had spent quite a bit of time with them. And there was guys like Porcupine, it was a Cheyenne, that came from some of the northern reservations to go to that. And there was a guy named Wovaka, who was a Paiute that came from the more western reservations. And those are just two names that are in the movement. Porcupine and Wovaka claimed that Christ had charged them with carrying his word forward. And there's popular culture, people say, oh, yeah, those guys claimed to be the Messiah. And no, I never, ever, and I've researched this deeply, ever heard any of those that were kind of called to be his spokesman, if you will, to claim they were the Messiah. They were his servants that were gathering.
Well, and you fast forward that to the modern 60s, where everybody got on drugs and peaced out and sex and free love and everything else, and then you had the Jesus Revolution come about. And none of those claimed they were Jesus Christ either, but they certainly did their best to, you know, bring people back to things that were important. And in the movie, even one guy gets kind of thinking he's the cat's meow guy, and he gets shut down fast, and he learns it isn't about us. It's about Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of examples in history that we can point to this, but I think that's what we need, though, a revival in America, in terms of not necessarily a public revival to get all, you know, whipped up crazy. And, you know, they called them in the 60s Jesus freaks, where they got, you know, a little bit maybe more zealous than that makes sense. Let's have a true heart rather than extreme zealousness, so to speak. But the whole point's the same, though, about this hour that we're spending, is I appreciate and acknowledge the efforts of so many who are trying to bring back things that matter the most. And that is our relationship with God and our family, understanding that our country provides the framework for liberty to prosper. And we got to make sure that that remains the case. Or if you say it's not the case now, Sam, then we need to make sure that it becomes the case going forward. And we can do that through our efforts and draw on God's power in our lives. And I'm convinced there's more effort and power there that people can possibly imagine, Doctor.
You know, it's interesting to me. I've spent a lifetime studying the founding of this nation from the earliest stages on through even to this point. It's been a real avalanche of tragedy in recent century. But at any rate, one of the things that I'm most impressed with as I've studied the American founding era was that if you look at even the preamble to the Constitution, they did it for themselves and their posterity. And their posterity was very much in the forefront of the discussion. They spoke, they wrote so often about it. John Adams made a very interesting, we're going to have to talk about it sometime, about how his efforts to preserve or at least establish liberty and then allow it to be preserved, how he did what he did for his posterity. Many of those, in fact, virtually all of them in the founding era, knew that they would never see the fruit of their labor to bring about full liberty. But they felt that their posterity would receive it. They wanted to, and they were seeking it for themselves and their posterity. But what they did largely for their posterity. And we've got to do the same thing. I mean, someday, somehow, I hope that this nation can have a great awakening to our responsibility to pass it on, if you will. Pay it forward.
Yeah, because you and I aren't super young. And you know what? How much we'll see of our efforts in our day, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much liberty we're going to get back in the next several years for us. But when you think about our children and our grandchildren, and you think about the history of the country, you think about at some point after this life meeting some of the founding fathers and having them look at you and say, what did you do with the incredible gift we gave? I hope I can square my shoulders and say, sir, or you know, even to the Savior Jesus Christ, I did the very best I could to bring people to the truth. And the truth makes people free. I did my very best to help people understand and participate in this grand effort, this liberty versus tyranny struggle. I know that liberty wins, and I hope that I can report that I was on the side with purity and a humble heart and clean hands to say I did all that I could do. I wish I could do more. I die in my life, or when I die, it's I just wish I had more to give. And if I can leave with that viewpoint and answer with that kind of a position, if you will, or life well spent, then I believe my life has great value, Doctor.
Well, I truly hope that also. I mean, you know, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That freedom thing goes through it all. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, Amen. My burden light. He finds a way to give us purpose and direction and peace even. You know, that shalom concept we talked about
earlier.
So those kind of things come by our alignment with him. But sometimes people seem to be deflective of that.
Yeah, because then you want to say shalom times three, don't you?
Yeah, shalom, shalom, you know. But the thing is that we go on bended knee to government for solutions so often.
Shame.
And we should be going on bended knee before our God and
Amen.
Looking to
hey,
the wrong
by the
sources.
Way, Redneck Radio, man. Sam and Dr. Scott Bradley, just a couple of rednecks on your radio, man, taking on the great philosophers of the world and doing so by pointing to God Almighty. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I hope we can make a difference for the good.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're flat out of time. Thanks so much for listening. Spread the word, share the love, encourage your neighbor, will you please? For Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.